Well, the sweetest season of our married life may be the 21 years we spent at Christ Church in the Woodlands prior to our move here at Marvin into Tyler. Leanne and I were on staff together at Christ Church 16 of those 21 years, and I've heard many people, some in the room, say, oh, I could never work with my spouse. But we loved it, going to work together, eating lunch together, knocking on the wall because we shared a wall, our offices did. We loved working together 16 of those 21 years. And even when we were not on staff at Christ Church, or even since we've been here at Marvin, our lives, our ministry is deeply, uniquely intertwined with one another's. For Marcus, that meant being a part of a family. He grew up in ministry, and I'm telling you that by the time he was 4 years old, he probably went to more funerals and visitations than most of us in the room. And there was one time as a young four-year-old, we were going to a visitation, had the backpack full of activities, and he pulled up on the floor somewhere off to the side. But we paid respects and looked at Charles Meacham's lifeless body lying there in the casket, and remembered with Marcus who he was and what he did, how we remembered him at church. And he even paid respects to Charles's daughter, Mary. And as we left that visitation, we walked by the family room, which was across the hall, and he sees this spread of food in there. And he's like, I want a cookie. And Leanne says, baby, those are for the family, as quick as anything. He's like, we are family. And I think he understood what we were trying to instill in him, that he's a part of something bigger than himself, that we are the family of God. We wanted Marcus to experience all of that life and death in the church because it's all real. Walking with one another through death is both beautiful, hard, and holy. But death is not a fate that meets those for whom God just needed them more than we do. That is bad theology. So let's strike that from our vernacular. Every one of us. Death is a part of life. Sometimes it is tragic. Most always it is sad. And that's because we are hardwired for a relationship. We love each other deeply. And grief is the price of love. And so we feel those things when our loved ones die. But grief does not diminish our hope. In fact, our faith is marked by the hope that death is not the end. Resurrection awaits us, and eternity with Christ awaits those who believe. And for we who believe in Christ and receive his presence, we are family. We do life and death together. In the household of God, there is no us and them. It's only us. When we were adopted into Christ, we were not simply saved as individuals. We were brought into a community whose bonds are even deeper than blood. So goes the saying, blood is thicker than water, which means the blood of Christ is thicker, it's richer than the water that broke when your mother gave you birth. We are family, the family of God. Brought into community, and over these next 3 weeks, we're going to explore what it means to live as such, the family of God. Our adoption into this family, into Christ, it changes the way we understand life, ministry, church. Because God is Father, Christ is our brother. We are siblings, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, siblings with one another. Our lives are permanently intertwined, and we're not this club who visits one another on occasion. We are a family in which we belong to each other, every one of us. And if we're truly God's family, then caring for one another, shepherding one another, cannot be just the responsibility of a few professional clergy. Let's strike that too, because this idea must be the heartbeat of the entire family. that we care for one another. We are shepherds of each other. And that brings us to 1 Peter 5. And we often read this passage as a list of instructions for pastors to the elders, blah, blah, blah. And Peter's clearly addressing elders who carry a particular weight of responsibility for oversight of maybe 30, give or take. That's the size of the audience, the house church that existed in Peter's day. But notice how Peter begins, not by pulling rank, but by coming alongside his audience. I appeal to you as a fellow elder. Even the way Peter gives this instruction kind of models the leadership that he is describing for his people. The call to care God's people extends way beyond those who hold a pastoral office. Here we just spent this summer in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4 tells us that pastors equip God's people for the work of ministry so that the whole body might grow up towards maturity in Christ. There is a structure. There are some who have a particular responsibility, but the ministry of the church was never meant to be outsourced to a few professionals. It's all of us, lives deeply intertwined. At Toyota, where cars and trucks are manufactured, quality does not belong only to the person whose job title includes quality control. If you're working the assembly line, the person closest to the problem has both the responsibility and the authority to act. And that's an important thing, to know that you have authority and not just responsibility. In the church, we have responsibility and authority. Care doesn't belong just to those whose title is pastor. The person uniquely gifted, uniquely positioned, right near the person who has the need in the moment, just might be whom God has sent to shepherd that person in the moment. And so we all learn to shepherd one another. Or in the language of the early Methodist movement, John Wesley, great-grandfather of our Methodist faith, the founder of the movement, mid-century 1700s, organized his people, societies, classes, bands, large groups, small groups, microgroups, for the sole express purpose of learning to pastor one another well, doing life and death, caring for one another. That's why we here at Marvin place such a great emphasis on worship, on life in the church being more and deeper than gathering for worship. This is vital to the organism that is the body of Christ. This is our most important spiritual discipline. But being fully known, fully loved, whether that's Sunday school, class meeting, discipleship band, that's our lifeblood. Those are our roots, in fact. So August 23rd, here in this space, 9:45 to 10:30, we'll talk about our small groups here in Marvin. Places where we learn to pastor one another well. The big idea for this morning, and really for the next 3 weeks of this series, is that we all play a part in each other's becoming more like Christ. Say it with me. We all play a part in each other's becoming more like Christ. And Peter unpacks that for us and shows it what it looks like starting in verse 2. And the first thing that I want to point out is we lead from the heart, not obligation. And our relationships with each other, our shepherding of one another, pastoring one another well, lead from the heart, not obligation. And there's a difference between the two, feeling guilty, compulsion, obligation, and serving because you are genuinely concerned and interested in that sacred other. And Peter calls this a willingness to serve, which doesn't mean we always feel like serving. It means making ourselves available to those whom God has placed around us. So we care for them, not because we feel pressure to do so, but because they belong to the chief shepherd, verse 4, and because we love him. It's all an outflow of our love, the way we care for one another, an expression of our love for Christ, and really a response to the love of Christ. And it all begins with paying attention. But in order to pay attention, you've got to be present. Because you cannot care for people that you never notice, and you cannot help become more like Christ from a safe relational distance. So if we're just isolated or standoffish, it's not helping them or us. Within the church, shepherding means equipping, empowering, releasing others for ministry. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't gather his disciples simply so that they could consume content or receive ministry from him. He equipped them and sent them to share in what he was doing there in the world through the Holy Spirit that continues today, because Christ has gone from being someone on the outside to the one who lives inside of those who realize their need, repent, and receive. And that's what it means to be a Christian. Men and women marked by the presence of Christ in you. And because he's in you, we experience what they did, what Peter's talking about. Multiplying disciples who make disciples who make disciples. There's a story about a Stanley Webster who worked at Chick-fil-A when he was 15. And he refilled drinks and took out the trash and cleaned the restrooms. And his operator, the owner of that store that he worked at, noticed something different about Stanley and took an interest in him, even when Stanley didn't see it in himself. So Norman worked beside him and invested in him and gave him increasing responsibility. Stanley became a cashier and then a team leader, then back of house leader, and eventually, 26 years old, he is an owner operator himself. Went through Chick-fil-A's leadership development program. And I know there are people in the room who've had other experiences at similar franchises, and you can't tell me that corporate America's got the market cornered on all of this. I mean, they're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Pouring into people, noticing them, raising them up, releasing them for ministry. That's the culture shift that's underway here in our own congregation. What we as staff are continuously talking about. How are we giving this away? Who are we empowering? Who are we releasing for ministry? Norman did more than operate a successful restaurant. He reproduced his vision and his values in Stanley. Stanley owns them and is doing the same thing. That's multiplication. This movement from doing the work to stewarding the people. And we've experienced this in different ways, even in our own families, by God's grace. Children being fed as infants, and then learning how to feed themselves, and then learning how to set the table, learning how to cook once they're on their own, and they're able to do this and reproduce this. That's ministry. That's life in the church and multiplication. The same is true for the family of God. Spiritual maturity means moving from being cared for to participating in the care of others. The ministry expert is not the person who does all the ministry. Let me say it again. The ministry expert is not the person who does all the ministry. The ministry expert is the person who gives it away. Power, authority, responsibility. I'm still learning this. But that's what we are about as the church. It's who Jesus was and what he invites us into. And so we pastor one another well. And as we do, we lead from the heart and not from obligation. Secondly, we serve people and not yourself. We serve others and not just ourselves. Our shepherding of one another must never terminate on self. It must never become transactional. It's always outward oriented, others focused. Christ often transforms us through relationships. That's why we're looking, heads on a swivel, paying attention, noticing. When we walk with people through crisis or sin, through healing, through death, our relationships become places where Christ changes lives. When you walk with someone through a sin or listen to their struggle, disciple them in the faith on toward maturity, even playing one small part, your motive isn't what's in it for me. What can I get in return? Whether that's recognition or influence, even compensation or control. We serve one another. We serve Christ by serving his sheep, by meeting human needs, by investing in others. We're not just doing time in relationships. We are actively looking for ways to connect, to serve, to feed, encourage, and strengthen the people that God's placed around us. And that's what it means to bless God and bless others, to strengthen the arms of those around us, to strengthen them. So we lead from the heart and not from obligation. We serve people and not ourselves, and we lead by becoming someone that is worth following, not lording it over people. We become examples for other people. We're not ruling them. We're living our lives out in front of them, and people will follow those who practice what they preach. When mutual trust is cultivated, influence grows, and that is authority. That's spiritual authority, and it's not something we wield. It's something we wear, and it's contagious, not coercive. Yes. Pastoring relationally does not require a title. It happens all the time, the fruit of character and faithfulness. The culture of a church is not shaped through positional power, but through the consistent, steady, faithful example of its people, men and women who've received the presence of Christ, and we live it out and we offer it to each other, and the world is watching. The way we treat one another might be our greatest witness. So Peter addresses our motive, our energy, and our method. And if I could restate these three points a little bit differently, we serve willingly because we love Christ. We serve eagerly because we seek each other's good. We lead by example because Christian influence is embodied. It is not imposed. And none of this is about control. It is about caring for God's people in a way that reflects how God cares for us. That's how we can lead without lording over others. They belong to God. We can serve without recognition because the reward belongs to God and he is our prize. And we can remain faithful because the chief shepherd's promised a crown of glory that will never fade or be defiled. It is for all eternity. And so the invitation is very simple. Shepherd one another the way God shepherds, willingly, humbly, eagerly, humbly, because we belong to him. Or more simply put, as we've already said, we all play a part in each other's becoming more like Christ. Nicky Gumbel tells a story. He's the former head rector of Holy Trinity Brompton in London, England, author of creator of the Alpha Course. And he tells a story once of a church member whose life was interrupted on a Thursday by a knock at the door. And this person went to answer the door and there was someone outside who needed help. They had a human need that could be met. And so this person called the church, and no one answered. And they took them to the church, and no one was there. And you know what they had to do? They had to meet that need themselves. And a little bit later in the week, they saw Nikki Gumbel, and they said, "Do you know that someone knocked on my door out of the blue? It was after dark, and they had a need, and I called the church, I took them to the church, and I had to do something about it. Why doesn't the church do something about it?" And Nikki Gumbel said, "It looks like the church did. We are the church, uniquely positioned in all the places that we go to meet those needs externally. But y'all, there are needs in the room too. And if we pay attention, we just might see who's new, or we might notice who's alone or whose countenance is even a little downward, and we could respond and offer the hope of Christ. Shepherding is a part responding to the needs around us in the world, but it is also very much a part responding to the needs here in this space. It's paying attention wherever, whenever, to whomever that God has already placed around us. And so I want to invite you to notice, to invest, and to multiply. To notice, who has God placed in your care? Let's sit with that for just a minute. Who has God placed within your reach? Then I want to invite you to invest in them. Think about who needs your encouragement, your example, or your invitation to take the next step they know to take towards Christ. Then I want to encourage you to multiply yourself. Let's figure out how to do this really well and do it together. Who are you equipping to care for someone else? Giving power away. Authority. Christ. We all play a part and helping the sacred others becoming more like Christ. The image bearer of God, becoming the child of God, we all play a part in it. And especially here in the room, we do. So shepherd one another. Church, let's figure this out. Shepherd one another willingly, eagerly, and in all humility, because that is what family does, and we are the family of God. Lord, I pray that we would experience life and death together, that we would be the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the family of God. Our whole life for your glory. God, raise us up. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and the intentionality to respond. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.